the theme. They're fairly loose themes, I must say, but the theme today of faithful servants. It's no secret that I am a fan of Manchester United FC, the greatest football club in the land, if not the world. Please don't judge me. My mum was born in Manchester, and I have been to Old Trafford. Please don't hate me either. It's been nearly 10 years since we've won anything of any significance. And after 20 years of success with Alex Ferguson as manager, and he was always going to be a hard act to replace. Now, when Sir Alex retired, he recommended David Moyes as his successor. And when Moyes started, they unveiled banners at Old Trafford saying, "The chosen one." 10 months later, he was unchosen and sacked. A couple of years later, the club appointed the special one, as he liked to call himself, Jose Mourinho. A couple of years later, he was sacked. And a couple more managers have come and gone. And I was hoping that we would have someone come along to save the club and restore it to its former glory. However, I was really rather concerned when I read this recent headline: Jesus signs for Arsenal. Why would he not sign for Man United, who so desperately need a saviour? He sounds like just what we need. But this, of course, was not Jesus of Nazareth, but Gabriel Jesus of Brazil, a very good footballer, but definitely not the Messiah. Now, if you've switched off because I've mentioned football, you can wake up now. The book of Isaiah hints at one who is chosen and one who is special coming into the world. And probably more than any other book of the Bible, it speaks about the anointed one that God would send. And the word translated as anointed one is Christ, Christos in the Greek of the New Testament, and Messiah in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. What was Isaiah thinking about as he speaks of a chosen one, a special one, an anointed one? To unravel this a little, we need to go back to the time when Israel asked for a king. Before that, they'd been led by a succession of judges, but they desired to have a king like all of the nations around them. And although the Lord warned them of the consequences of having a king who would demand their allegiance in every way, etc., etc., and demand tribute, taxes even maybe, they insisted, and God graciously permitted. He had Samuel anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. This was good for a while, but Saul turned bad. And the Lord then had Samuel anoint David as king over all Israel. Hear this promise that came subsequently through the prophet Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. "Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And that must have been quite a thing for David as a king, maybe insecure in his position in certain ways, wondering what was going to happen through all the challenges and oppositions that inevitably arose, to hear those words, to hear that my house, my family line, this throne will go on forever. And with their awareness of being God's chosen people, it was quite a privilege for Israel to receive that promise and a legacy to protect. Well, fast forward from David, 300 years or so, Israel's king Ahaz, in the line of David, is refusing to trust in God, instead seeking military assistance from Assyria against enemies attacking Jerusalem. Fast forward another 130 years or so to 597 BC, as we would call it. Israel is attacked, the temple is ransacked and ruined, and within years, many of the people of Israel are carried to exile in Babylon. Where is their God now? What has happened to this promise of God to David? How they must have longed for a rescuer, a Messiah, a Savior, someone who would restore Israel to the way things used to be. Ever had that need to be rescued from something beyond your control? Ever had that feeling that you need to be saved from something apparently within your control? Listen on. Into these things, the prophet Isaiah speaks messages from God. He speaks to Ahaz words that are very familiar to us. Isaiah invited Ahaz to ask for a sign from the Lord. Ahaz refuses, but Isaiah gives him one anyway, saying, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, of course, Matthew's gospel applies these words to Jesus, born of Mary, a virgin, and tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. Well done. I thought I'd pause and see what happened there. God with us. So when you need rescue, when you need guidance, when you need help, do you ask for a sign from the Lord? I hope you do, actually. And when you do ask for a sign, are you willing to receive things you don't want to hear? Or just things that confirm your point of view, your own aspirations, fulfill your own desires? It can be hard sometimes, can't it, to discern the Lord's will, but it may often be in the things that we don't want to hear that the Lord speaks. And when it seems that the Lord doesn't speak directly and maybe wants us to work things out for ourselves, we can still know God is with us, Emmanuel. So Ahaz refuses God's sign, even that God is with him, and things don't end well. Hezekiah, his son, succeeds him as king, still in the line of David. It's possible at the time that Hezekiah was seen as the sign of God with us. The Bible says of Hezekiah, he held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. And yet even his heart became proud and his reign came to an end. Other kings came and went until the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. Where now was the promise to David, whose line seems to have come to a shuddering end? Who will save the people? God already had a plan. Doesn't God always have a plan? I believe he has a plan for our lives, that he has always had a plan to rescue us. And Isaiah 11 tells of his plan for God's people Israel. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Think about who Jesse was. The father of David, the one to whom the promise was made that his throne would be established forever. Isaiah looks back to the beginning of David's kingdom and forward to its apparent ending. And he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. God has a plan. God always has a plan. We're told the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in fear of the Lord. And this will be a son of David, but more than David ever was. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness, we're told, he will judge the needy. With justice, he'll give decisions for the poor of the earth. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash round his waist. Well, David had been good, but not that good. I think to myself, again, if only our next Prime Minister were to have those qualities. Something to pray for, isn't it? But there is one who does have those qualities and have them in abundance, and we know that his name is Jesus. And he is the chosen one of God in the line of David, the son of David. He is the special one, as his wise words, righteous acts, and gracious forgiveness demonstrate. And he is the anointed one, on his head with perfume, on his feet with tears and perfume. From top to bottom, he is the Messiah who comes to save. And in Isaiah 61, and we have been ranging all over Isaiah, haven't we, in these studies, in Isaiah 61, in words that Jesus reads in Luke 4, which he says are now fulfilled, it says, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, otherwise known as Jubilee, not just platinum Jubilee, but forever Jubilee." And these are words for you and for me. If you have ever felt poor materially or spiritually, good news, Jesus satisfies. If you've ever felt brokenhearted through sin, good news, Jesus forgives. If you've ever been held captive to circumstances, good news, Jesus sets free. If you've ever been locked in deep darkness of whatever kind, good news, Jesus shines his light into our darkness. Jesus comes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And these are thoughts for us to apply in our lives, but also thoughts for us to share by our words and actions. And even today, this afternoon at the Fun Day, we can speak and be good news. We can bring God's comfort, share God's hope and God's love. Isaiah 11 goes on to share a vision of harmony in the natural world and unity among humanity. In that day, he says, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And I'd love us to model that harmony and that unity in our church. But such things don't always come easily. And there is cost. There's a strand of biblical witness that associates obedience with flourishing. For example, Psalm 1, which you may know, "Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water." I would love to be that person, wouldn't you? Planted not just by the streams of water, in the stream today, I think, and tomorrow and the next day. But there's another strand of witness in the Old Testament in particular that reminds us that obedience sometimes means suffering. The faithful servant we read about in Isaiah 53, who was despised and rejected by humans, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God. This is the story of Jesus, the Messiah, who did not seek the way of glory, but was obedient to the way of the cross, which brought him far greater glory at the Father's side. Will you be obedient to God in all things, even when it brings you pain and suffering? Thank God that Jesus was, because through him we are forgiven and we are free to live life to the full. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for Jesus, the chosen one, the one who entered into this world, your Son, to be our Saviour, our Messiah. Thank you that we can know him as our rescuer. Thank you that we can know him as the special one, the one who is uniquely human, the perfect example of what it means to be human. Help us to follow him in our lives. And Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus as the anointed one, the one anointed with your Holy Spirit. May we also be anointed, not just once, but often, by your Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, we pray, to live following the example of Jesus in all that we do.